Today on Straight Talk Africa, U.S. President Barack Obama has welcomed Pope Francis to the White House on Wednesday. The pontiff's busy schedule has him addressing a joint session of the U.S. Congress on Thursday before speaking at the United Nations on Friday. What will be his message to the American lawmakers, to the American people, and to the world? An in-depth discussion on the Pope's visit to the United States is next on Straight Talk Africa. Hello, welcome to Straight Talk Africa, live from the Voice of America studios in Washington. It's Wednesday, September 23rd. I'm Peter Clotty, sitting in for Shaka Sali, who is on assignment.
Well, hello and welcome to you, Peter, and hello to all our viewers and listeners on the continent and elsewhere. I'm Mariama Diallo, your social media reporter.
Today, we are talking about the historic significance of the pontiff's visit to the United States, ahead of his trip to Africa later this year.
And coming up later in our SCA inbox, we'll share your thoughts on the Pope's visit through your emails, tweets, and Facebook comments. Hope you'll stay with us.
But first, President Barack Obama warmly welcomed Pope Francis earlier today before an estimated 15,000 people on the grounds of the White House. Viewer's Jeff Custer has more.
As dignitaries and guests gathered on the White House South Lawn, the Pope stepped out of the Vatican Embassy in Washington to greet throngs of the faithful and well-wishers. A short time later, the President and Mrs. Obama greeted the Pontiff at the White House with a formal welcome. In his remarks, the President told the Pontiff that the excitement surrounding his visit to the U.S. was attributable not just to his position as Pope, but to his unique qualities as a person.
You remind us that in the eyes of God, our measure as individuals and our measure as a society is not determined by wealth or power or station or celebrity, but by how well we hew to Scripture's call to lift up the poor and the marginalized.
In his remarks, the Pope echoed the President's words.
American Catholics are committed to building a society which is truly tolerant and inclusive, to safeguarding the rights of individuals and communities, and to rejecting every form of injustice, discrimination.
Pope Francis also weighed in on climate change, saying he was encouraged by Mr. Obama's efforts to curb air pollution.
It seems clear to me also that climate change is a problem we can no longer be left to a future generation.
After the ceremony, Pope Francis and President Obama held one-on-one talks in the president's office. Administration officials say the leaders discussed values they both share. Jeff Custer, VOA News, Washington.
Thanks, Jeff, for that report. The pontiff went to the White House this morning, his first stop for today. For more on his meeting with President Obama, VOA's Aru Pandey joins us live from the White House. Good afternoon, Aru.
Good afternoon, Peter.
Although it was a private discussion, what did President Obama and the Holy Father talk about?
Well, they talked about a number of issues, but mostly they talked about shared values. We heard in Jeff's story about the Pope's comments on climate change. He also talked about the protection of religious liberty. And that theme, those two themes, were common in both President Obama and Pope Francis's comments to the audience. They also talked about protecting those who are marginalized, giving refuge to people who are forced to flee their homes. And this message really resonated with people who were listening in the audience. You heard a lot of cheers, applause, and nods of agreement, especially when the Pope talked about climate change and making sure that we leave a planet, to our children.
Well, how was his message received this morning?
People were visibly moved, and not just because they were getting a chance to see a pope, but this particular pope. One woman said to me, this man stands for tolerance. She stands for humanity. Another woman said, you know what? I'm Catholic. I'm 200% Catholic, but I'm more Catholic today because of him. So there was this real sense of admiration, of inspiration from Pope Francis in the words and the message that he has conveyed, not just here at the White House, but throughout the world.
Well, a few moments ago, you were at the White House briefing. Could you tell us what transpired at the briefing?
Well, everyone during the briefing, all the reporters were curious to find out exactly what happened in these one-on-one talks, but Press Secretary Josh Earnest did not divulge any details. In fact, he said there would be no readout. What we do know is that the Pope and the President met for about 40 minutes in the Oval Office after the arrival ceremony. The only person I believe was in there was the interpreter, and it was a private conversation meant to convey those shared values that both the Pope and President talked about during the arrival ceremony. But in terms of what exactly they talked about, we don't know, and we will not get a readout of that meeting.
Now, Aru, tell me, what about some reports that some invited guests made it uncomfortable for some officials at the Vatican?
Well, the Vatican and the White House played down some of the controversy surrounding some of the invited guests. And they basically said, look, there were about 11,000 people on the South Lawn, people from all walks of life, and that those were people here to hear their message, and it reflected the diversity of the United States. So they really played down some of the controversy surrounding those who were invited to the arrival ceremony today at the White House.
Before you leave us, Aru, what was the interaction between President Obama and the Holy Father?
Well, you could tell the deep admiration. You could see it in I think, the president, both when they were speaking in the Oval Office before the reporters were let out, the big smiles on their faces. The White House talked repeatedly about the warm welcome that this first family wanted to give the Pope. This was the first time that President Obama, First Lady, both of his daughters, and Vice President Biden and his family were all on hand yesterday to receive the Pope at Air Force, at Andrews Air Force Base when he arrived. That was unprecedented, and it was an unprecedented welcome for this Pope who was on his first visit to the United States. So there was definitely this deep admiration that the President Obama wanted to convey, the deep respect, and also those shared values, protecting religious minorities, fighting climate change, eradicating extreme poverty. So these were all issues that I think both world leaders wanted to highlight during this visit.
Thank you very much, Aru. We'll have to stop right here. Thanks to you once again, VOA's White House correspondent, for sharing your insight with us today.
Thank you.
Now, joining us here in our Washington studios are two distinguished guests, Reverend Anede Okure, fellow at the Institute for Policy Research and Catholic Studies at Catholic University of America here in Washington, D.C. He also served as an executive director of the Africa Faith and Justice Network, a nonprofit organization that educates and advocates for transformation of U.S. policies toward Africa. Intal Alimasi, president of the National Association of African Catholics in the United States, an apostolate approved and promoted by the United States bishops to engage, support, nurture, build communities of African Catholics in the U.S. And also joining us from New York Live via Skype is Reverend Patrick Ryan, professor of religion and society at Fordham University. He spent the greater part of his life as a Jesuit priest, working mostly in Nigeria and Ghana. Welcome to all of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So let me ask you this first, Reverend Akure. What do you make of the Pope's visit to Washington?
It is historic in so many ways. First of all, coming from Cuba, the Pope helped to negotiate the restoring relationship between the United States and Cuba after how many, 52 years? Oh, that's historic in itself. And then, you know, this Pope is about building bridges, it's about reconciliation, it's about creating an environment where we can all live as brothers and sisters. So his visit here, not just being historic that he's the first Pope who is coming to address Congress, it's his first visit ever to the United States, but also that he comes with a message of hope. He comes at a time where, you know, the divisions within even our political arena, you know, is getting very intense. So it's good to hear someone said, let's live as brothers and sisters. Let's work for the common good. Let's work for a brighter future. Let's create a world where we can all belong and be happy together, not just for a few people. So in that case, his visit is timely. His visit is really at the right point of history here, especially in the United States.
Let me come to you, Father Ryan. What about the message of reconciliation that he's been hammering on since he was elected as the Pope?
That's central to his whole experience as a person whose family came originally from Europe to Argentina. He's from an Italian-speaking family who were plunged into a Spanish-speaking environment. And he has always wanted to bridge the gap between the continents of Europe and the Americas. And he's also wanted to bridge the gaps that sometimes divided even his fellow Argentinians in the past. So he is a person who has lived that throughout his life. And now in the world stage as Pope, he's trying to get all of us, just as he's trying to get the Cubans and the Americans to work together with each other. He's trying to get all peoples across racial lines, across religious lines, to work together to build a common humanity.
Now, Intal, let me ask you, the city is virtually at a standstill. What do you make of his arrival and his visit to the U.S. for the first time?
Well, I'll touch it on 2 points. First of all, for me, as a Catholic, an immigrant Catholic, and then, of course, somebody who lives in Washington, D.C.
Right.
The first one is, for me, I see this visit as a pastoral, trip. We are going to get a chance to hear from the teacher, you know, what he thinks about social justice. Because the way we look at it for us, the believers, social justice is the prayer of the Christian for those who don't have a voice. So he's going to come and give us, you know, that teaching that we're all longing for, you know, when you talk about the marginalized, the downtrodden, the poor, those who don't have a voice. How do we live that? How do we put that out? How do we communicate to our brothers and sisters who feel that they are left behind by, I guess, what society deems the proper things that a Christian has to do? So that's the first thing. The second one is, as a Washingtonian, well, I mean, you look at the enthusiasm, right, the people who are in the streets. I mean, I've seen people that I know are not Catholic, and the first thing when they saw it, like, the Pope is here. So I'm like, oh, wow. And to me, that translates something bigger than just being, sectoral. It says something. This Pope has a message, and a message that is being embraced by everybody. For the first time, we can see this bridge that is being, you know, built between people of different religions. And I'm not just talking about Christians. Right. I'm really talking about even Muslims, about, you know, people who have other faiths. And that's good for us. That's good for us, not as Catholics, but as human beings. Because for the first time now, we are looking towards that which is at the core of a human being. Take care of your brother. Take care of your sister.
Unprecedented security arrangement, they call it. What is it, Father Quirrell?
Yeah, you know, first of all, it's unfortunate that we have to put in this kind of securities, right, around the city, but it is necessary.
Right.
Yeah, unprecedented because, you know, as much as the Pope is out there giving good message, preaching reconciliation, trying to make people respect each other as human beings, we also know that there are certain elements who are out to disrupt that, people who are out to ensure that conflict continues. So the security in itself, yes, is unprecedented. I've lived in this city for a very long time. I've never seen anything like it. But it's a good thing. On the one hand, it's good, but when you look at what has enabled or what has created that unprecedented security, it says to us that we still have a long way to go as human beings, a long way to go in terms of embracing goodness, in terms of respecting the rights of others, in terms of being and let be.
Well, he doesn't follow the normal rigorous routine. He wants to have the finance. Now we'll pause for a short break. We'd like to remind you that Straight Talk Africa is on the social networking website, Twitter, and we are tweeting live. Follow us at VOA Shaka, that's VOA Shaka. Join today's discussion with your questions and comments. Don't forget to use the hashtag VOA Pope in US or VOA Walk with Francis. And we are still on Facebook. Just enter the keyword Straight Talk Africa. Become a fan and connect with other friends of Voice of America. We'll be right back.
Here is a look at the remainder of Pope Francis's Wednesday and Thursday schedule. On Wednesday, he attends the Junipero Serra Mass at the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception. On Thursday, he arrives at the U.S. Capitol and will address a joint session of the U.S. Congress. He'll have a brief appearance on the west front of the U.S. Capitol. Will also visit St. Patrick's Catholic Church in Washington. He will depart for New York City later on and will arrive at JFK International Airport in New York City later that evening. We'll have an evening prayer, and after that, he'll have a multi-religious service at the 9/11 Memorial and Museum. Later that evening, there will be the papal motorcade through Central Park, and also he'll have a mass at Madison Square Garden.
Pope Francis is coming to America. VOA follows the Pope's historic visit from Washington, D.C., where he'll address Congress, to New York City, and on to Philadelphia. VOA's coverage of Pope Francis' historic visit to America, beginning Tuesday, September 22nd.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. What is your opinion about today's topic? Call us at 202-619-3111. U.S. country code 1. When you call, remember the following. Ask only one question. Keep your comment brief and turn down the volume on your radio or television. Now let's return to Straight Talk Africa.
Welcome back. Before the break, we were talking about the Holy Father's visit to the United States of America. Let me come to you, Father Ryan. Supporters of the Holy Father say he is the champion of the common man. What do you make of that assessment?
Correct. I must say he's also a champion for the common man and woman of all the Americas. And he's certainly very different from some of our politicians who want to build barriers and walls to separate us. We must remember his original desire was to come not from Cuba to the United States, but from Mexico to the United States on foot. It would have been a good example, I think, for some people who would like to build a barrier there that would prevent that from happening.
Well, let me ask you, Father Okori, some people are saying that he shouldn't even dine with the homeless, as was in his schedule, but his supporters say that is not him. You know, he was a Jesuit priest, and he always visited the less privileged.
Okay, if those who are talking about it know what the Pope stands for, the Pope, as successor of Peter, whom Christ put in charge of the believers, Jesus himself was often criticized for, quote, dining with the poor, eating with sinners, reaching out and touching lepers, reaching out to the marginalized and excluded people. So if somebody who is a successor to the successor of the right. Grand Chief is not doing that, then he's not doing what he's supposed to do. So the Pope, in fact, is living out the message of Christ. Reach out to the excluded. Reach out to the marginalized. Be the voice of the voiceless. In fact, when Jesus himself did what is normally referred to in Christianity as his inaugural sermon,
right.
he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me
right.
because God has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, freedom to the captive, liberty to the oppressed, etc." And in 3 solid years, he did just that. He tackled it. He reached out to the excluded. He reached out to people who were marginalized. He spoke against the authorities who oppressed the weak. And so the Pope is following the footsteps of Christ when it comes to that. So if people are criticizing him, they truly don't understand Jesus and his message. Because that's exactly what the Pope is doing. He's, you know, like he's, when he's going to Nairobi, he's going to the shanty towns to meet with people. And, you know, his relationship with prisoners, with those are people that we have put away. We have excluded from life. And the mercy of God always reaches out to the excluded people and bring them into the circle.
Mm-hmm. Talking about his message in town, mm-hmm. He's changed the way the Catholic teachings are communicated to people, everyday people. Mm-hmm. Some have pushed back. Do you think their criticisms are justified?
I think actually that, those who are trying to push back could be part of what they call that clique that tries to always hijack the message, the conversation of Christianity, and put it under a few what I'll call issues that they want us to consider the issues.
Right.
But what Pope Francis has done, Father Agnelli can contradict me or Father Ryan, but he has not touched on any main doctrinal points of the Catholic faith. All he has done is tell us, change the focus. Change the way you talk to people. Change the way you put out the message. And you see that, there's going to be more of an enthusiasm, more of belief, and people coming to hear. Because basically, who are we as Christians? We are just those people who are in the vineyard trying to make sure that people understand the message of Christ. And what he has done is really just change the methods of communication. He's saying, look, be compassionate, and you're going to see that people will respond. I'm looking forward, actually, to his message on immigration. I'm going to Philadelphia.
Right.
On Saturday, I will be there in the hall just listening to what he will say about immigration. And as an immigrant to this United States, that will be powerful.
He also said he's a son of an immigrant, by the way.
Correct. But I would like to touch on what Father Agnelli said. He also said, actually, when he was first interviewed, he said he was a sinner.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's key. That's key. Being a product of a Jesuit, I will understand. When the Jesuits say, you want to be the boss, be the servant.
Right.
That's really the part. And when he says, I'm a sinner, he's saying to people, look, don't look at me as just this big boss. I'm saying, I'm just going for the one who is looking for mercy.
Well, they didn't say that if scripture say that if he who has not sinned should throw the first stone.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. Right, Father Ryan, let me come to you. The Holy Father has touched on LGBT issues, homosexuality issues, and some people are uncomfortable. And since it cuts across some will say religion, other religions are not too comfortable, especially. Those in, I wouldn't mention names, but people are not particularly happy with his embrace of LGBT issues. What is your take on that?
The Holy Father is trying to include everybody, and that includes people who are reclassified as lesbian, bisexual, gay, transgender, and questioning their identity. He's trying to make everyone feel that they are welcome in the family It is a family, and a family takes care of everybody in the family and doesn't cast them out. And any society that does cast people out because of the way they're born, the way they're raised, is not worthy of the name of society, of a human society. And he's very much trying, I think, to help us all be human and humane to each other. That is the most basic thing of any religious tradition. And any religious tradition that doesn't recognize that needs to rethink its position.
Well, the issue of his embrace of LGBT issues, some have said that he should shy away from that. People in the Vatican themselves have pushed back on those issues. But talking about reconciliation in the church, do you think he has said what he wanted to say all along?
I think he's been consistent with his pastoral message, even when he was in Argentina, that the Pope is trying to, he's not approving of certain types of acts or another that are against the law of God, but he wants individuals to be treated with mercy and compassion. He's very, on the escutcheon of his papacy, on the shield, he has words from a homily of St. Bede, in which St. Bede looks, says Jesus is looking at Matthew, the tax collector, somebody who was considered an enemy of the people of Israel because he worked for the Romans and was collecting taxes for them. And he looked on him with pity and chose him. It's miserando aquae eligendo. He looked on him with pity and chose him at the same time. So God is more generous, more kind than many human beings.
Well, his message on climate change is being dissected through political lenses, both the right and the left. Reverend Okori, your take on that?
I am glad that the Pope is taking on this issue on climate change. He's taking on this issue on care of the earth because, see, we only have one earth to live on.
Right.
And if we don't collectively take care of it, we are going to do ourselves in. Let's go back to, when we look at the book of Genesis and God creating human beings, what was God doing? God was taking care of the earth, arranging stuff, the stars, the moon, the earth, fish and all of that. And then we are told God created man in his own image.
Right.
That aspect of that is that we are, in a way, co-creators. We are entrusted with taking care of the earth. And if we abuse it, we are going to be the losers. In fact, Africa wisdom is right on this. It says, it goes this way. We, who are alive now, we do not inherit the land from our ancestors. We borrow it from our children and grandchildren. That is really very apt because if we are borrowing it, it means that the earth is entrusted to us as custodians, and we have to preserve it for future generations. And so when out of greed and the desire to make money overnight, we abuse the earth, we pollute the waters, we dump stuff, toxic waste into the earth, we are poisoning not just ourselves, we are poisoning our children, we are poisoning the future of our grandchildren. So when people say that, the earth, the Pope's encyclical Laudato Si, is political, they're missing the point because this is really a pastoral issue.
Thank you very much. You are still tuned in to Straight Talk Africa. We'll have more of our discussion in a moment. But first, here's Mariama Diallo. Mariama, it's all yours.
Well, I'll say hallelujah to what the Reverend just said. And thanks, Peter, still to come. We'll reveal some of the fantastic feedback we've just received from our audience through social media. But now, here is our letter of the week from a fan in Liberia.
Mohamed Ahmed Mansour from Monrovia in Liberia writes, I would like to describe the 266th Pope of the Roman Catholic Church as humble, outspoken, uncompromising, and controversial. Pope Francis has proven to be a significant voice and not just for the Catholics. I hope his papal visit will be filled with both religious services and diplomatic meetings. The pontiff should emphasize social justice aimed at inclusiveness beyond the boundaries of religion. Pope Francis should also talk about economic disparity, immigration policy, and prison reforms. He's a moral rudder for the world on some of the most important issues of our time, from inequality to climate change.
Like Voice of America on Facebook. Follow VOA on Twitter. Join VOA on our YouTube channel. Like, follow, join VOA.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. Call us now with your questions and comments. The number is 202-619-3111 and the U.S. country code is 1. Call us direct and we'll call you right back. Remember to turn down the volume on your radio or television and keep your comments brief. Now back to Straight Talk Africa.
Welcome back to Straight Talk Africa Live from Washington. Once again, it's time to bring in our social media reporter, Mariama. Back to you, Mariama.
Thanks, Peter. U.S. President Barack Obama welcomed Pope Francis earlier today at the White House. This is the first stop of a three-city tour that will take the pontiff to New York and Philadelphia. In New York, His Holiness will speak before the United Nations General Assembly to further his cause on the environment, and on his final stop in Philadelphia, there will be a mass for the World Meeting of Families 2015. Well, this leads us to our question of the week, asking, what messages are you most interested in hearing Pope Francis talk about during his visit to the United States? Well, thanks, everyone, for using all our social media platforms to communicate to us. Let's begin with a comment from Dotib Samuel Jr. from Tamale in Ghana, who writes, when the Pope visits Africa, which he's slated to do later this year, I hope he'll talk about the lust for power and the need for democracy across Africa and the peace we need. Colonialism is the worst form of imperialism. It's power without redress. For those who suffer from it, it means exploitation of the voiceless to the highest order. It's in this light that I stand to reiterate a fact without fear that we should not vote for any byproducts of colonialism. Well, another reminder that we are tweeting live today. Use the hashtag VOA Pope Francis, or VOA Pope in US, or VOA Walk with Francis. And if you haven't yet, please do follow us on Twitter. Speaking of it, let's go to a tweet from Roy Barriga Yomwe from Boston, who writes, I would like the Pope to highlight the relevance and role of the Church in governance today and in the tackling of the glaring global challenges. Well, we have another tweet from Bunda, this time in Tanzania, and her name is Hilary Majimwe. She pleads the Pope to discourage people about gay marriage, for it's against the will of God and the Church at large, she writes. Well, Peter and guest, very interesting comments here. Your take on those.
Very, very interesting. Reverend Ryan, let me come to you. What is the mood in New York ahead of the Holy Father's visit?
If you think there's gridlock in Washington, you haven't seen anything yet. New York City is building up an incredible adventure. We're a much larger city than Washington and many fewer broad streets. This city happened rather than was planned. So we're going to have a lot of fun. I'm going to be traveling down by subway to the 9/11 memorial, which is on Friday morning. I think you announced this Thursday evening. It's Friday in the late morning. But it's going to be an adventure getting there. And of the papal events, it's the one I don't have to be there 3 or 4 hours ahead of time. only about an hour and a half at a time. But it's going to be a big tie-up on Friday, I'm sure, and Thursday and Friday in New York. But I think everyone is looking forward to it. And as long as the weather seems to stay as good as it is, I'm sure it will be a wonderful event.
Well, let me come to you, Father Okore. Africans have expressed their views about LGBT issues, about the Pope voicing and saying he's not a judge to judge anybody's behavior among us. But the Africans, from the tweets and messages we've gotten, they said, you know, you have to discourage them from doing so. Now, he goes to Africa in November. What should be the expectation, and what will be his message to the people in Africa?
Well, I think, first of all, I don't think the Pope is going to engage in this issue, right, Africa. I think there are real larger issues that afflict the continent. And I like, I've forgotten the person who sent it in about corruption and
right,
governance.
Right.
It's really a big issue. In fact, the Africa Faith and Justice Network here in Washington, in collaboration with the Episcopal Conferences of Africa and Madagascar and Africa Europe Faith and Justice Network, is organizing a big conference in end of November, around right, the time the Pope is coming to Nairobi.
Right.
And the conference is titled Land Grab and Just Governance in Africa.
Hey, you know, land grab is a very big issue on the continent.
A huge issue that, if not addressed now, many Africans will wake up in 10 years and find out they are living in borrowed land. It's really bad. Let me drop some numbers here.
Briefly.
In Ethiopia,
right,
you have about 3.2 million hectares of land in foreign hands. 64% of arable land in Liberia is in foreign hands. And the list goes on from Mogadishu to Dakar, from Cape Town to Cairo, and in between, Cameroon, Eastern DRC, Kampala, all over. So it's a big issue, and we are trying to awaken the people to this plague that is menacing Africa, which is a new land rush, a new scramble for Africa, which is really bad. So we hope that the Pope will touch, because this is really in concert with his publication on Care of the Earth. Land grab is an abuse of land, mm-hmm, an abuse of the people who are dislocated. Secondly, we talk of governance. One of the person who called him talked about people grabbing onto power. Look at what is happening in Burkina Faso right now.
Right.
After the people have really stood up and tried to bring decency to the country, just a few guys tried to grab power. And the story goes on. Uncle Mugabe, you know, Uncle Museveni, you know, Pierre Nkurunziza, the list goes on and on and on.
Well, Congo Brazzaville President Sassou Nguesso said he's going for a referendum to amend the constitution.
Exactly.
Well, Mariama,
Rwanda is in too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mariama, do you have any more feedback to share with our audience, please?
Absolutely. And there is so much to talk about. Absolutely. Let's move on to a posting from William Kokulo from Monrovia in Liberia, who writes, I believe the Pope's trip is historic to both the United States and Africa. I hope His Holiness will preach morals, the actual doctrine of the Holy Bible, and call for total democracy and peace on the African soil. I hope he calls on African leaders to stop changing constitutions and leave power when their terms are over. Well, I think we were just touching on that a little while ago. Let's take a look at another Facebook comment while we are at it. This time it comes from Ngenyama Mlenga in Blantyre, Malawi, who writes, I don't see the significance of his trip to the United States. Let's not mix religion and global politics. Well, Peter and guests, once again, lots of good points. Your take on these ones.
Very interesting. In town, expectation of Africans when the Pope visit, of course, is people expect him to talk about corruption, governance, good governance for that matter.
Yeah, well, I think one of the biggest expectation that we expect from a pastor, be it the Pope or just a priest, is to speak truth to power. We just expect them to be the, I guess, the conveyor of the message of truth. You know, if they do that, they have done their work. And so whoever thinks that, you know, it's not the Pope's place to do that, then they don't understand what, as a pastor, he's supposed to do. Apart from that, we as Africans, we also expect, you know, a message of equity. I mean, especially when he will go to Africa, we want to see, of course, we hear about Africa that is rising, Africa that is doing so well. But when we look, we don't see the people of Africa benefiting, you know, from whatever progress we are making. You know, I mean, the growth is, well, in numbers, but the basket of, you know, the, I guess, the maid is empty. But that doesn't mean that the money is not going into the coffers. Father Anyedi, you know, talked about corruption. But we also want to see that distribution of the wealth. It's not just for the politicians. It's not just for the well-to-do. It's for everybody. You know, that land was given to all of us. We want all of us to also enjoy the, the products of that land. So those would be some of the expectations that we want to hear. Well, personally, I would like to also hear about this message of equality in gender. I mean, our women do most of the work.
Right.
Our men work, but, you know, we shouldn't think that, you know, our women come last in, you know, getting the benefits of, you know, of their work. So I would like, to some extent, because we try to hide behind our traditions, and I would like to hear that message that is clear, that actually, and I learned when I was younger, you know, a friend of, you know, our family used to always say, I'm going to the house, I mean, to the lady's house to whom I rent, or from whom I rent a room.
Your point is well noted.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mariama, for bringing us this week's audience reaction.
Well, I was going to say hallelujah when you started talking about to equal redistribution of health, of wealth for the ordinary African people. But I'm going to, once he talks about women, of course, I have to say hallelujah to that as well. I think he's going to become my next best friend. Anyways, well, that will do it for today's social media segment. Just a reminder that we appreciate all the feedback, whether it's in social media form or using other means to communicate to us. Please, please keep them coming. If you are a new fan, just drop us a line at africatv@voanews.com. Once again, our email address is africatv@voanews.com, or post your comment on our Facebook page. Just enter the keywords, Straight Talk Africa. Be sure to visit us online at voaafrica.com, or you can join our YouTube channel. Just sign up to VOA TV to Africa and follow us on Twitter at VOA Shaka. Now let's take a look at what's on tap for next week's program. But before that, actually, I would want to just remind people that the show is streaming live every Wednesday. Go to the VOA Straight Talk Africa TV program page on our website, or simply watch us live on your mobile device. Just download the VOA mobile app. I think now we're ready to look at what's on tap for next week's program.
Next week, Straight Talk Africa will come to you live from New York, where world leaders are gathering for the United Nations General Assembly. They are expected to address a variety of global concerns, including the European migrant crisis, climate change, the Sustainable Development Goals of this year's UNGA theme, the UN at 70, a new commitment to action. That's next week, right here on Straight Talk Africa.
Welcome back. Today we are talking about the historic significance of the Pontiff's visit to the United States ahead of his trip to Africa later this year. Our distinguished guests are Reverend Anede Okure, fellow at the Institute for Policy Research and Catholic Studies at Catholic University of America here in Washington, D.C. He also serves as the executive director of the Africa Faith and Justice Network, and Intal Alimasi, president of the National Association of African Catholics in the United States. And last but certainly not the least, joining us from New York via Skype, Reverend Patrick Ryan, Professor of Religion and Society at Fordham University. Well, on the line we have Patrick from Nigeria. Good evening, Patrick.
Good evening, Mr. Peter Clotter. Good evening, our guest, Patrick Okorafo in Arochukwu, Nigeria. I see.
Good evening to you.
Pope visit is historic because more blessings await Americans for their developmental assistance to Africa and other continents. You see, Pope Francis, anytime he moves with anointing, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So there are more anointing that will be bestowed on Americans. As our Pope moves down to to UN meeting, I would like Pope them to help to talk more on the migrants, to see how Americans can assist. And let the Pope also look into the issue of Africans sitting tight in the office, not to go. I don't know their reasons. Thank you very much. Have a blessed day.
Well, thank you, Patrick. What do you make of Patrick's comment, Reverend Okore?
Yeah, I mean, the Pope brings the blessings in many ways. That's true. We already see it happening. We see people of all faiths, at least for once, we are trying to be civil to one another. So it's a good thing, and I think it's a blessing in itself. You know, we are rising above the usual partisan politics for now, and having to hear the message of goodwill, reconciliation, care for one another, and being brothers and sisters to one another. And if I may just slot in something, when you mention about expectations from Africa, you know, the Pope actually is going, first and foremost, to is the 50th anniversary of the canonization of the martyrs of Uganda.
Right.
So he's going for that anniversary. And he's going also, in that context, he's going to affirm Catholics and Christians on the continent. You know, in the last 20 years, the church has seen the fastest growth of Catholicism on the continent of Africa, unparalleled. You know, it's really, really fast growing, both in terms of the number of Catholics growing, number of priests, number of religious, and young men and women committed to service. So I think the Pope is going to use that opportunity to affirm the people in the faith and ask them to engage in the ills of the society so that they can live out their faith in, you know, not just within the church, but engage the structures that we talk about, structures of exclusion, structures that are indigenous to Africa and themselves that sometimes exclude women from participation that was mentioned earlier, and other structures that can free Africans to be truly Christians.
Thank you very much, Reverend Okore. A reminder that you are tuned in to Straight Talk Africa. To participate in our discussion, please call us at 202-619-3111. And the U.S. country code is 1. We'll continue our discussion in a moment.
We are able to touch on things that are important to people on an everyday basis. We hope that our viewers are getting inspired when they watch our show. They're getting a view of the world from a different perspective, things that perhaps are not in their immediate vicinity. Today, I could put in on the show something that is a little different, a little unique, and this gives me that inspiration to come to work.
If you like today's show, please write and tell us what you think or give us some suggestions. Be sure to tell us what station you're tuned into. Our address, Straight Talk Africa, Voice of America, 330 Independence Avenue Southwest, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. Or send us an email at africatv@voanews.com. Log on to our website at voaafrica.com. Or post your comments on Facebook, keywords Straight Talk Africa.
Welcome back to Straight Talk Africa. Before we took the break, we had a call from Patrick from Nigeria talking about expectations of and the blessings of the Pope while he's visiting. Intel, let me come to you. The Holy Father, Pope Francis, had been talking about the need for family values, entrenching family values in the society. What do you make, or what do you expect him to talk about when he goes to Philadelphia to attend the meeting there?
Okay, thanks for that question. Actually, it sort of answers a little bit one of the comments, somebody who said he doesn't see why the Pope should have come to the United States, which really the Pope, the first reason to come to the United States is to attend the World Meeting of Families. As a pastor, again, he has a pastoral message on the family. We are eager to hear that. We are here to, especially for us as African Catholics, here to hear how those values embedded in our cultures, right, how can they be a gift to the church? How do we live them out so that our children will continue to be full members of the church, either during their youth or as young adults? So I'm heading to Philadelphia, as I said, after this this show, because we have a meeting of the African family. We have about 700 and something people who have come from Africa for this meeting. And we have African Catholics who will be there. We'll have a meeting tomorrow where we're going to put forth our own needs, pastoral needs, and recommendations for the church. And that will be, you know, the first, part. And then, of course, we're going to fellowship with our brothers and sisters from elsewhere to understand what it is that we're doing. So for me, really, this message on family is going to be very important. And I know the Pope has started to speak a little bit about it, where he was saying, you know, that, you know, we need actually to be able to embrace all of us and, you know, see each one as, you know, members of the same family taking care of each other.
Thank you very much. Before I come to you, Reverend Okori, let me go to Liberia. Paul, hello, Paul. Can you hear me, Paul?
Yeah, I'm getting you. I'm here. I'm on the line.
All right. Yeah, you have the floor.
Yeah. My question to the Pope is right now in Washington, D.C., you'll be addressing the Security Council. And you'll be visiting Africa. That's how you know in Africa, the Catholic Church runs schools and hospitals here. And if you check that, they are in the most expensive school and the most hospital. Right now in Liberia, we get you from Ebola family, but to attend a Catholic hospital in Liberia, you have to be a money man before you go there. For their school, they say you pay installment one, some two. So I'm asking the Holy Father, what the message is bringing to Africa? Because talking to the white people there in America, that they should embrace people. You talk about the gap between the rich and the poor. But what about Africa? What is his message for us as Africans? Where is this show with the Catholic Church? That school is very expensive. Their hospitals are very expensive. So I'm asking, what is his message that he brings to us? That he will send what to the people to help us in the process, because the church is here to serve humanity, not to support humanity. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Paul. Let me come to you, Reverend Ryan in New York. You heard Paul's comment. What are your views?
I didn't hear his message entirely, but I think it was what the Pope would have to say to situations of inequality in Africa, especially in regard to education. I think one of the great problems in Africa is the neglect of the whole system of public education in so many countries since independence. And it has forced the development of private education, which for a while in some countries was not encouraged at all or even actively discouraged. But it's important to realize that you can't run schools without money. And the governments in independent Africa have to realize that the rewards that go with being a member of parliament are disproportionate sometimes to what is actually spent on basic education in the country, and even more on education that goes beyond the basic level to secondary level and tertiary level, where there are needs for the development of the country that have to be met. And yet the universities and the secondary schools have been neglected in many countries, especially in the last 25 years or so.
Reverend Okuri, you were going to say something before I went to Reverend Ryan.
Yes, I wanted to hinge also, emphasize again the importance of family and why the Pope is here. You know, the Second Vatican Council described the family as the domestic church.
Right.
Namely, it's a place where faith is nurtured.
Right.
It's a place where we teach tolerance, a place where we teach take and let give, you know, give negotiations, relationships, respect of the rights of people. And so family is really key to the church, to a country, to humanity as well. And it is a place that, you know, family is really under attack these days. In fact, the saying, I'm forgetting the source, but this saying, the ruins of a nation begins in the homes of its people.
Right.
That's very true. So the post message on family is going to touch on that we need to protect families. Because it's a shame today in this country that sometimes two parents are working full time, are not able to support family. That's a shame. It shouldn't be the case. Our system is taking parents more and more away from their children, not giving them quality time to attend to their children in their formative years. So I think the Pope is going to emphasize that family is key to the survival of the nation, of the church, and of humanity.
Before I come to you, let me go to Reverend Ryan. Reverend Ryan, the canonization of Father Seri, 25,000 tickets and more sold so far. Briefly, what are your views about that? Because there are splitting views. Some are saying he should not be canonized because he was complicit in the violence meted out to Native Americans. Others are saying, well, he should be canonized. What are your views?
I think Junipero Serra has to be seen in the context of the 18th century. They did not have at that time the sensitivity to culture that we have developed in modern times. But we must remember that the modern times have been much worse. The 20th century has been, the last century was certainly the most destructive of humanity in many parts of the world, including in Africa. But we had the terrible Holocaust of the Jews, the destruction of the Armenians, and then the Pol Pot in Cambodia, Rwanda, and so many situations in Nigeria and in South Africa, which are highly reprehensible. So the fact is that Junipero Serra was part of his century. There were good things he did, but he's not. No saint is perfect, and the good things he did was establish missions and do something for the education and the upliftment of the indigenous people. It does not measure up to the standards, perhaps, of modern times, but we have to judge him by his own century.
Thank you very much. On that note, thanks to our distinguished guests, Reverend Anedi Okure, fellow at the Institute for Policy Research and Catholic Studies at Catholic University of America here in Washington, D.C. He also serves as the executive director of the Africa Faith and Justice Network and Intal Alimasi, president of the National Association of African Catholics in the United States. And last but certainly not the least, Reverend Patrick Ryan, professor of religion and society at Fordham University, who joined us via Skype from New York. Thanks to our affiliate stations, along with our viewers and listeners, we thank you for tuning in. For many of our Voice of America radio affiliates, Learning English is coming up next. And tomorrow morning, it's Daybreak Africa with James Batty. On behalf of the Voice of America, thanks for tuning in to Straight Talk Africa. I'm Peter Clote in for host Shaka Sally. Good evening from Washington.